Good. Now, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. So now, isn't it nice to have all that financial stuff out of the way? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. When I stand up here to say Mass, I got three things on my mind. Three things on my mind every time I stand up here to say Mass. Here's the first. First thing on my mind when I'm standing here at this altar is that I know that I'm offering the sacrifice of Christ on the cross on Calvary. I'm not saying I understand that, but I'm aware that I'm offering it. Did you know that it's a teaching of our faith that every Mass makes the past event of Calvary a present reality right here on this altar? You've heard that song, "Were You There When They Crucified My Lord?" If you've attended Mass in faith, your answer is yes. So first thing on my mind every time I stand up here and say Mass, here's the second. It's all of your intentions and all the things that are on your mind, all the things that are in your heart, even the things you can't put into words, they're right up here on this altar, and they're right here in my heart. It's also a teaching of our faith that everyone who's baptized is united to the person of Jesus Christ. Now that means that all of your prayers, all of your works, all of your sufferings are united to His if you want them to be. When you come to Mass, you take those, you put those right up here on the altar. You offer them with the priest and through the priest for the greater glory of God and for your own sanctification, all the intentions you have in your heart. That's the second thing on my mind every time I say Mass. Here's the third. It's all the people who are not here who ought to be here. You know, at this very moment, cars are streaming down the Broadlands Boulevard and across the toll road, and they're all seeing the steeple of this church. I wonder how many of them know that the deepest longings of their heart and the deepest yearnings of their soul are fulfilled by what we've got on offer under this roof. Very few. Few, if any. The deepest longings of your heart, the deepest yearnings of your soul, the one who fills those is Jesus Christ. And He's here. So very, very many people are letting Jesus Christ pass them by. And that brings me to the gospel that we just got finished hearing. Story of poor blind Bartimaeus, the beggar on the roadside of Jericho, who cries out when Jesus Christ is passing him by. He says, "Son of David, have pity on me." Did you know that's the first time Jesus was ever proclaimed publicly by his messianic title, Son of David? First time ever. Poor blind Bartimaeus. Of course, St. Peter did it. St. Peter did it first, but he did it in private. First public proclamation of who Jesus is. And when he says, "Have pity on me," you might find this interesting. The word that Mark uses in the gospel is eleison me. Eleison. Does that word sound familiar at all? Eleison. We start every Mass and we say, Kyrie eleison. Christe eleison. You know what that means? Kyrie means Lord. And eleison, just like Bartimaeus said here in the gospel, it means, have pity on me, have mercy on me, come and help me. And it also means, heal my wounds and soothe my pain. I love etymology, I love words. The Greek word eleison, it's rooted in the Greek word eleos, which is the word for oil. In the ancient world, when you got wounded in battle, you had a great big open wound, they poured oil over your wound because it would soothe your pain and ease your burden until they could get you better help. Every time we start Mass and we say, Kyrie eleison, know what you're saying. Lord, come and help me. Lord, have pity on me. Lord, heal my wounds and ease my pain. But poor blind Bartimaeus, and this is the irony of the story, is the only one who can see what's going on. Crowds and crowds of people, and the only one who can see what's actually happening is the blind guy. Now, if we could all go back in time and we could stand on the street in the roadside in Jericho there with Bartimaeus, I have no doubt that all of us would recognize Jesus Christ, and not one of us would let him pass right on by. You'd pull him aside, have a conversation, share your thoughts and your deepest yearnings and your troubles, and you wouldn't let him pass you by, I have no doubt whatsoever. But the question you want to ask for the day when you hear this gospel is, are you letting him pass you by right now? It's a funny thing about God's intervention in the world. You got time and time and time again in the Bible, when God intervenes, most people miss the message. And I want to draw your attention to this. Don't let him pass you by. Because there's another teaching of our faith that the exact same Jesus Christ who was there on the roadside in Jericho is here at this Mass. Now, he's passed mysteriously into the sacraments, right? You don't see him the same way that people in the crowd saw him, walking around and talking with a body. But he's no less here, no less present, and no less real. If you want to be more like Bartimaeus, who saw with the eyes of faith, and less like the crowd who let him pass by, take a cue here from the gospel. Three things Bartimaeus does are the same three things we want to do if we want to see with the eyes of faith. Here's the first. Bartimaeus did not give in to discouragement. He cried out, "Son of David, have pity on me." What did all the crowd say to Bartimaeus when he cried out? He said, "Be quiet. Keep your mouth shut." What did Bartimaeus do in response? He cried out all the louder, right? "Son of David, have pity on me." They tried to send discouragement to him his way, and he refused delivery. The exact same thing you and I need to do if we want to learn how to see with the eyes of faith. Discouragement is the devil's favorite tool. It's amazing, really. But the one thing the entire world tells you to shut your mouth about is when you talk about Christ or talk about we want to follow Christ. You know, you go to a cocktail party or you go to a reception or any nice formal event. You can talk about almost anything. You can talk about sports, you can talk about the weather, you can talk about science, you can talk about current events, you can talk about how to build a better mousetrap. But try mentioning the name of Jesus Christ and tell me if it doesn't go over like a cold fish. You can talk about almost anything except him. It's as if the world says, shut your mouth, keep... They want to hear about anything else. They want to hear about what's popular. What's everybody else doing? What's the crowd thinking? Where's the mob heading this week? They want to hear all about that. They want to hear about what's profitable. Can you tell me how to get ahead? Can you tell me how to have a better golf swing? Can you tell me how to have a better hair day? Can you help me get my kid into a better college? Can you help me pay off my loans more quickly? Can you help me move up in my career? Can you help me with my stock portfolio? Anything at all that's profitable. The sky's the limit talking about that. People love to hear about what's pleasant. Tell me about your vacation. Tell me about your travel tips. Tell me about your hobbies, anything at all except following Jesus Christ. They want to shut you right up, and you can't give in to discouragement. Just like Bartimaeus. Sometimes the voices of discouragement come right from our own hearts. It's an amazing reality, but as soon as you start to dedicate yourself to God with all your heart, have a serious spiritual life, voices arise as if from within you saying, you're wasting your time. You're doing this all wrong. You should quit right now. This is going nowhere. You can't listen to those voices. St. Paul once said, there is no condemnation in Christ. All the voices of condemnation, I'm telling you, they're coming either from the secular world or they're coming from a bad spirit within us, but they're not coming from the Lord. Take a cue from Bartimaeus and refuse delivery. That's the first thing you need to do. Here's the second. We have to learn how to make a sacrifice. We have to learn how to make a sacrifice that costs. When Jesus called to Bartimaeus, the gospel says he cast aside his cloak, sprung up and went to follow the Lord. That little detail, he cast aside his cloak, you might have missed that. But it's not a little detail at all. For a poor man, his cloak was his most prized possession in the whole world. It was his covering from the sun by day. It was his blanket by night. It was the item in which he would collect his alms if he was a poor man begging by the roadside like Bartimaeus. A cloak was so important a possession to a poor man that you couldn't take it away from him, even in a court of law, as a result of committing a crime, according to the book of Deuteronomy. What did Bartimaeus do? Cast aside his cloak. He didn't keep it with him. He threw it aside, and he received his sight as soon as he did that. I tell you, there's a funny thing about the worship of God. It always entails a sacrifice. I heard somebody once put it this way. The worship of God is always inconvenient. If it's convenient, it's not the worship of God. It costs you time, doesn't it? It's not convenient. You've got to get up, truck across town, come here to this church, stay until the end, even through the announcements, right? Deal with the crowds going out the door. It's inconvenient. It's inconvenient to go to confession, isn't it? You've got to get up and go and wait in line and middle of the day. And it's inconvenient to pray. There are so many more enjoyable and seemingly profitable things that you could dedicate your time to, and yet you dedicate your time to the Lord. It's inconvenient. But you know what? Love is impossible without sacrifice. You cannot love the Lord except at the cost of sacrifice. It might cost you your time. It might cost you your treasure. It might cost you your talent. But if you want to see with the eyes of faith, learn to cast aside a cloak every day. Not one single day without the cross, brothers and sisters. Not without the cross, none of us get into heaven. Without the cross, we don't have any hope. Not one day without the cross. Learn that love and sacrifice are inseparable. Here's the third. Bartimaeus followed Jesus on his way. Jesus says, go your way, your faith has saved you. And Bartimaeus goes and he follows Jesus on his way. Now, to tell you the thing about following the Lord, this is something we have to keep in mind. He never tells you where he's leading. When you want to follow the Lord, you got to write him a blank check. You want to know why? Because if he told you where he was leading, you probably wouldn't follow him. I mean, if he told you the full price you'd have to pay, you probably would quit right there on the spot. But it's in the act of following the Lord day by day that you draw the strength you'll need to face the difficulties that will inevitably come. When they come, you'll be strong enough. When he called the apostles, he didn't tell them where that he was going to lead them. Thank goodness. And imagine for a moment he's calling the apostles and he says, Peter, come follow me, and one day they'll crucify you upside down. And Bartholomew, you come follow me, and one day they'll flay you alive. And Andrew, you come follow me, and I promise one day they'll crucify you on a cross shaped like an X. It'll take you 3 days to die. What would they have done? They would have gone screaming into the night, right? But in following the Lord, he made them strong. And when it came time for them to pay a heavy price, they were perfectly capable and able. And it's the same for us. You've got to write the Lord a blank check. You know the story of when Jesus calls Peter and makes him head of the church? Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Have you heard that one before? I hope you have. Jesus calls St. Peter. He says, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? That's his only question. Do you love me? Jesus never asks, hey, Peter, are you a good public speaker? Because I'm thinking about making you head of my church and you're going to have to do a lot of public speaking. So I sure hope you're good at it. Doesn't ask that, does he? He doesn't ask, hey, Peter, are you a good administrator? Because I'm going to put you head of a multinational corporation. I mean, the church is going to be really big and it's really going to be important for you to be a good administrator. So I hope you're good at that. He doesn't ask that. Hey, Peter, hope you don't have any personal faults. I mean, I really hope you don't, because you're really going to disappoint people when they see your personal faults. He doesn't ask that either. Jesus asked Peter one thing. Do you love me? And Peter's answer to that question is the only thing that matters, because his answer to that question means that God himself will provide everything he needs. And as it was for Peter, so it is for you and me. That's the third lesson from Bartimaeus. St. Augustine once said, when I was a young man, I feared many things. I feared losing my money. I feared losing my girlfriend. I feared losing my reputation. I feared many things. But now that I am old, the only thing I fear is Jesus Christ passing me by. A little lesson for you and me to make us a little bit more like Bartimaeus and a little bit less like the crowd that could not see the Lord as he was passing by. That's why I'm so fond of saying,
But if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Amen.